WJF.org.
And you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. Normally, a radioactivity would be on right about now, but we're going to continue with the Richard Wolf program that we didn't finish in the last hour. And then coming up in a few minutes, we're going to hear a really great talk by David K. Johnston that was just given in Seattle, Washington. Remember, we're trying to raise $9,800 here today. So far, we've raised more than we've raised $3,000 so far, so we've got another $6,800 to go. Hoping that you'll make that contribution right now by calling 813-239-9663. We did have a challenge, and that was that we were looking for three people to make $100 contributions or more. Thanks to Anonymous in Tarpon Springs, made a $25 donation. Thank you, Anonymous. Andy Carpe from the Florida Mountain Boys. Thank you, Andy, for your nice contribution, taking the Pacifica Radio Voices That Changed the World flash drive. And so that Andy did help us get that match of $300. So that's a magic moment here at WMNF. Andy, thank you very much. And Jan Simpson is here, the commuter is here, and Sean Kinnan is here. We got a bunch of people we want to thank on our way to raising $9,800 on the midday news and public affairs.
And we have a new member.
All
this
right.
Is always good. Rodolfo Sporondio from Sarasota. And he's helping match that challenge.
All right, Rodolfo, thank you. How much did you donate?
$50.
All right, that's great.
Thank you.
All right, 813-239-9663.
Rabbi, I have another donation from Rodolfo. He's joining the Circle of Friends from Sarasota. He's helping to match the insurance company challenge. So we did meet that challenge, so thank you. He's also a sustaining member at WSLR in Fogartyville. And this is a $100 a month Circle of Friends donation. So this is a huge donation.
Wow.
It'll mean $1,200 to us this year. So thank you, Rodolfo, for that donation.
That's huge. That's huge.
And we got to thank Carolyn Hammond in Clearwater for a very generous $500 pledge.
Wow, that's
so
great.
Looks like we get a lot of support out there for Richard Wolf, you know.
Well, let's hear more of Richard Wolf. Boy, I'm just looking at it. I realized we are going to go back and hear more of Richard Wolf in just a moment. I think we have raised about $4,500 or $4,600, and that's really good.
Great.
On our way to $9,800.
But we got to hear from you right now at 813-239-9663.
If it's easier for you to make a donation on the web, you can go to WMNF.org.
All right, so let's hear more of Richard Wolf's Economic Update, the program that was scheduled for today. And thanks a lot for tuning in. If you love news and public affairs, we're doing really well. We're almost halfway there, and we need your help at 813-239-9663. Here's more Richard Wolf Economic Update.
Again, with housing becoming a very important subject in America, to say the least. First, rents in the United States today are higher than they have ever been in the history of the United States. Even more remarkable is this statistic. For every homeless person in the United States today, there are two vacant investor-owned homes in the United States today. So let me repeat that. People are holding homes off the market, hoping to make a killing by getting a high-paying tenant sometime in the future. The homes are empty. They're in the hands of investors who have no desire to use them. They just want to make money off of them, side by side with many, many thousands of homeless people. When I say sometimes to you that we can do better than capitalism, this is a perfect example. We have a system that encourages people to become investors in households, in homes, side by side with a system that pays so few wages or gives so few jobs that we have hundreds of thousands of people in this country without a home. And as I pondered this sort of situation, why we don't make housing a human right, why, again, we don't make housing like our public parks, something that we give to ourselves as a people. Everybody has to have a park to have a picnic in, to play with your dog, to play with your children, to get a moment of green escape from your daily life. It's very important to have parks, which is why almost every city and town and village has one, or more than one. But housing is also very important to your mental and physical health. Why don't
This is Richard Wolff's Economic Update. We're breaking in, and we'll get right back to Richard Wolff in just a second. If you want to call and support this show, 813-239-9663. We're raising funds for 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa, and we need to hear from you. If you support this kind of programming, if you like Economic Update, give us a call, 813-239-9663. You can also make a web pledge at WMNF.org. Very soon, we're going to hear Mark Bureau. Your hero, Mark Bureau, is going to be in this afternoon to pitch Midpoint, and we need to hear from supporters of Radioactivity, of Economic Update, of Democracy Now!, of Midpoint, of Executive Session. If you support these programs, give us a call, 813-239-9663.
So, commuter, what's the word? What's going on back there?
Everybody's just eating donuts and kind of waiting on lunch. And,
yeah.
And no, we're getting a lot of really good response for Richard Wolff right now. And we really need you. If you like Richard Wolff, I know I never miss it. Every Tuesday, I'm arrange my day so that at 10 o'clock, I can just tune into Richard Wolff because I know he's going to have a lot of good stuff to say. So what was that? Two investor houses? Are owned for every homeless person that's wandering the street. That is amazing, Rob.
That is amazing.
Something is dreadfully wrong with our system.
Well, you know, speaking of something dreadfully wrong, I think we just lost Richard Wolff. I'm trying to revive him, and let's see if we can get it back. This is WMNF in Tampa.
Luxury apartment houses that sit half empty while not taking care of the basic housing needs of the fellow citizens. I had this final thought. The British don't make such a big thing about their family values the way the United States does. But it is remarkable that a country committed to family values is so much of a failure when it comes to providing housing for vast numbers of people. What kind of a family value is that? Thank you very much. We've come to the end of the first half of Economic Update. Please stay with us. After a short interlude, we will be right back.
All right, we're listening to Richard Wolff's Economic Update right here on WMNF in Tampa. Thanks to a bunch of people who have called in. Thanks to Tammy Robinson. Tammy Robson? Oh, hold on. We're going to pause.
A little bit too lively now.
Yeah, we're going to pause Richard Wolff. Thanks to Tammy Robson from Venice, Florida, made a $150 contribution, taking the Pacifica Radio Voices That Changed the World flash drive. 1,350 hours of great programs from Pacifica. And John Hajeski from Lithia, thank you very much for supporting us and making a $150 donation. That's great. And thanks to Diane Zuckerman from Tampa, taking the Pacifica Radio flash drive for her $150 donation. That is huge. A few minutes ago, we needed to raise about $5,000 more, but we're a whole lot closer because of those three donations. Let's thank some more people. Jan Simpson is here. The commuter is here. Sean Canan is here. Let's, commuter, who do you have to thank?
Oh, I got to thank Rick McDougal in Lithia. Very generous, $150. Going to get the Pacifica Radio flash drive. And Tommy Kilgore in St. Petersburg is he's going to do a Circle of Friends. $12.50 a month comes out to $150 a year, and he's going to get the Pacifica Radio flash drive. So, and that all 56.25 days
you think
of Pacifica Radio.
Pretty popular thing.
I think that's the hottest item we got going. He says loves all the public affairs and all the music.
And Jan, what do you have?
I've got Charlotte Coslin from, she's cardio Start International Heart Surgery
Charlotte, thank you.
Yeah, in Tampa. And she is getting the grocery bag, but she's pledging $100, and she enjoys radioactivity. And this is for the match.
So. Thank you, Charlotte. Thank you helped us reach our match.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you for that donation. I'd also like to thank Linda Wellman from Spring Hill. She loves all the programming here, and she's getting the DVD of Harvest of Empire with that $100 donation. I believe that's the last one we have of that. Is that right?
Yeah, that is. So that's a great documentary. I wish we could get more, but they're out of print. Well, we're going to go back and hear more of Richard Wolff's economic update. We have we've passed the $5,000 mark on our way to raise $9,800. But this we just got this match in. This is from Dave Harbeitner and his wife Mary over in St. Petersburg. They are going to a match the next five donations of $100
or more.
So, Dave and Mary, thank you for that nice contribution. They live in St. Pete.
That's great.
Let's see if we can get five $100 donations or more, and that $100 amount will be doubled by Dave and Mary over in St. Pete. The number to call, 813-239-9663. You can also make your donation online. Go to WMNF.org. Make your contribution there. And, Shaw, we're going to go back and hear more of Economic Update with Richard Wolff in just a second. But we only have to raise... We are getting a whole lot closer now because of those great people.
Well, as soon as we hear from all the people who are going to answer that $500 pledge or challenge, I'm sure that that's going to help us get real close to our goal. So anyway, give me a call at 813-239-9663.
And you can also go to the web and pledge at WMNF.org or pledge on the WMNF smartphone app. Hit the support button or hit the tip jar on that app and make your donation. If you can make a donation of $100, that will help us to meet that match.
Okay, so we're looking for five people donating at least $100, $100 or more. And in the next few minutes, as we get those, your match, your donation will be doubled. The $100 donation will be doubled by Dave and Mary in St. Petersburg. Let's hear more of Richard Wolff, economic update. And this is WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. Richard Wolff, one of the great programs on who'd have thunk that, that an economist would have such a big audience.
Happens. We try to make it every month. My guest today is Dr. Harriet Fraud. She is a mental health counselor and a hypnotherapist in private practice in New York City. Our topic today is capitalism and mental health. And it is a topic that, in a sense, we've been building to in the previous months when we've talked about a range of quite related topics. In addition to being here with us at the beginning of every month, Dr. Fraud is becoming well known as a specialist on the intersection of American personal, economic, and political life. Recent articles that she's written have appeared in Alternet and in the book Knowledge, Class, and Economics. She appears regularly on the radio TV show Economic Update, namely this one, and also appears on such shows as Redacted Tonight with Lee Camp. Her work can be found on her website, Harriet Fraud, that's all one word, and the fraud is spelled F-R-A-A-D, harrietfraud.com. So it is with great pleasure that I turn, and we're going to talk about capitalism and mental health. Thanks again with us. Let me start right off the bat with an observation and then ask your comment. People have been used to dealing with mental health issues, let's call them, in the United States for a long time, but particularly in recent years. And all kinds of mental health issues have been raised, which we're going to talk about, and all kinds of reasons given for why we are experiencing these difficulties as much as we are. But I've noticed very rarely is the economic system in which we live among the causes or factors shaping mental illness. It's as if there's an unspoken taboo that we can think of stress or we can think of family issues or we can think of lots of things that might contribute to mental illness or a weak mental health, if that's a way to put it. But talking about how the capitalist economic system that we live in contributes is some kind of scary place we're not supposed to go. So it's particularly important, I think, that we have this conversation, that we explore that. So let's begin by, tell me if I'm right or wrong about thinking that it's reasonable to say that mental health issues are an important and increasingly important problem in the United States today.
They're huge in the United States. It's not only the addiction that I talked about, which is the biggest cause of death for people until age 50, more than car accidents or anything else, overdoses. It's also that one in six Americans is taking a mental health drug, because part of what capitalism teaches us is a problem, buy something, and it'll make you feel better. Even though the research on these drugs is that in 75% of the time, they don't work. And if they work at first, it's because there's an effect that if you believe in it, you feel better because you think it'll help you, and then you find out it won't. And so people keep taking greater and greater doses that don't make them any happier, but are guaranteed to do one thing, give you side effects, and another thing, give great profits to the psychopharmaceutical industry, which is the most profitable aspect of the pharmaceutical industry itself, highly profitable. You're talking about enormous profits, and people are propagandized. Prozac, a popular drug, was very influenced by the best-selling book, My Life on Prozac. Well, it turned out to have been sponsored by the makers of Prozac, but that was not announced. That's really too bad.
But in a way, if I could interrupt, you're now telling us that capitalism plays a role in how we respond to mental health issues.
That's right.
Tell us a little bit about how capitalism plays a role in creating those issues in the first place and then responding to them with profitable drug practices.
Well, that's a good question, because capitalism plays an enormously prominent role, which is why Americans are doing so much worse than most other peoples in the world who are ostensibly more privileged, the Western industrialized world. And that's because the key to mental health is connection. As I talked before, there's a mental health table that needs four legs. One is a really close relationship, whether it's with a sex partner or a really intimate friend or relative. Another is a wider circle of friends who are connected. Another is a group that you participate in, and there are fewer Americans participating in anything than did in bowling leagues alone in 1970, so you have isolated people. And also connection to the world, where you see yourself as a part of the world, whereas most Americans are depoliticized and don't have any feeling for the rest of the world. So all these legs are shaking, and in terms of what capitalism has to do with it, capitalism disconnects people from everything that they need. It makes, through advertising, and people are deluged, and so are children, they think that things will make them happier. In Johann Hari's new and excellent book, Lost Connections, he cites a study of little children that are seen a video of a wonderful little plastic toy. Others are not. Then they're split into groups. The group that sees the little plastic toy, as well as those that haven't seen it, are told the person who has this toy is a nasty person. Who would you play with? The people who didn't see the advertisement said, I wouldn't play with him. The group that saw it, most of them said, oh, I want to play with him because he has the toy, which is a little bit the story of what happens with advertising. You think that people are better, or that you'll be better if you buy something. You'll be more attractive. Little kids of 3 years old in America prefer the same hamburger if it's in a McDonald's container than if it isn't. So that
you are trained to think that it's brand names that will make you happy, that are better. And if you can't afford that, you're a loser.
So
you're worse.
So in a sense, you're saying, I just want to make sure I get it, that there's a kind of a tilting in the world we live in when we try to understand how to organize our lives, what to pursue, to go in the direction of things that have been profitable for somebody to produce. So that the capitalist profit mechanism literally shapes our desires and our preferences.
And our sense of our values, of what is important and meaningful in life. And they've done excellent studies which show that people who can afford a lot of things are not happier than people who can't. Now, of course, if you're homeless, you have a whole bunch of other reasons to be unhappy. But people who have reasonable but not high amounts of money, people with more stuff are not happier. They may be for the second that they buy the brand new expensive thing, and then it's over.
Well, that's Harriet Fraud, who is on every month with Richard Wolf. We're going to break in and try to raise some money here at WMNF as we go through a seven-day fund drive trying to raise $250,000. And if you like Economic Update with Richard Wolf, we need to hear from you. Here's the number to call. It's 813-239-9663. Never a commercial here on WMNF. We don't make money from commercial advertisers. We are listener-sponsored. We're a station that's sponsored entirely by its listeners. We have about a $1.7 million budget, and most of that money that it takes to run WMNF comes from our great listeners, people like you who listen to the programs and say, you know, thank you for bringing something that I can't get anywhere else. The number to call again, 813-239-9663. A few minutes ago, Dave and Mary from St. Petersburg issued a challenge, and that is they'll give us $500 if we can get five donations of $100 or more in the next few minutes. So we're going to need you right now. And if you make a $100 donation, your donation will essentially be doubled if you call in the next few minutes. The number to call, 813-239-9663. You can also make your donation on our secure website, WMNF.org. Let's thank the people that have called. Only one person, I think, has called in the last few minutes. And we want to thank our food people, too.
Absolutely. I want to thank new food donor, Shara Bunis, for cooking the volunteers here at WMNF. She prepared a vegan, gluten-free chili and rice and lentil soups for today.
Wow,
how about
great.
That one? Yes, thank you so much, Shara.
I'm ready. Karen Morgan from Bradenton. Now, this gal gets it. She's donating $12.50 a month so she can get that flash drive.
Smart. Yeah, and that's a flash drive that has 1,350 hours of programs from Pacifica, which is the original community radio network, started in Northern California, in Berkeley, California, in 1949.
Wow. And she loves all the programs and all the DJs.
Okay,
thank you.
And on that flash drive, there are interviews and speeches and documentaries about Dick Gregory, Studs Terkel, Tim Robbins, Dizzy Gillespie, Allen Ginsberg, Sylvia Plath, Alice Walker, Laurie Anderson, Naomi Wolf, Frank Zappa, Harry Shearer, David Bromberg, a documentary about the JFK assassination, a reading of Tolstoy's War and Peace, Christopher Hitchens debating Chris Hedges
what?
On religion and politics.
No Oxford Dictionary?
50 what? Talks by Alan Watts. 50 talks by Alan Watts. That's almost the whole series. Anyway, the number to call, 813-239-9663. We're going to change gears and do something special in just a moment. But, Sean, what's the word?
Yeah, we need to hear from you. We still haven't gotten that match. We still need to hear from four more people who are donating $100 or more a month. $100 or more, a one-time donation. And we will get an extra $500 from the generous donors that have challenged you to make that $100 contribution. Here's how you can do it. 813-239-9663.
And thanks to our phone answerers, Jim Drain, William Mazarese, Miss Julie, Blanny Whalen, Frank Knox, Jim Campoli, Jan Simpson, Val Llewellyn, Barbara Lewis, Gene Moore, Mean Gene, the Tally Guy, and Ann Haywood, all back there working in the back. Let's listen to a talk now. This is brand new, just came out, comes to us from Alternative Radio, which we carry over on our HD3 channel twice a week. This is a new talk by David K. Johnston, who's written several books about Donald Trump, and he's come out with a new book, And this is a brand new speech by him given just 2 weeks ago in Seattle. Let's listen to a new speech by David K. Johnston. This speech can be yours for an $80 contribution. Call us up at 813-239-9663.
You know, posting notes on the internet doesn't do anything. It may make you feel good, but it doesn't change anything. And we have the votes. And it's clear that there are plenty of Americans, more than enough, to change Congress. And why do you need to change Congress? Because the Republicans will never deal with Donald Trump. Now, Robert Mueller's report, when it comes out, I can tell you broadly what it's going to show from my 30 years of knowing Donald. He's a tax cheat. He was tried twice civilly for tax fraud. Totally lost the cases.
That's David K. Johnston. And this is Alternative Radio. I'm David Barsamyan. This edition of AR features David K. Johnston on Trump, the Age of Mendacity. An ultra-rich New York real estate tycoon and celebrity TV star is the 45th president of the United States. He puts America first by ignoring the world and pulling out of the Paris Climate Accord, undermining the Iran deal, and recognizing Jerusalem as Israel's capital. He drains the swamp by appointing people with dubious credentials. His economic policies are lining the pockets of the wealthy. His daughter and son-in-law occupy high positions in his administration. Can anyone say nepotism? Then there's the lying. Do politicians tell lies? Of course they do. But the current occupant of the White House is setting new records. The Washington Post has documented more than 2,000 lies in his first year in office. The self-described genius has a penchant for mendacity. His core group of supporters comment, "That's just Donald being Donald." What can you say? Our guest today is David K. Johnston. He's been following Donald Trump since the late 1980s. He won the Pulitzer Prize while reporting for the New York Times. He's the author of many books, including It's Even Worse Than You Think. He spoke in Seattle. And now, David K. Johnston.
It is substance with Donald Trump that you should care about. Not so much his tweets, his whose button is bigger nonsense, even his racism, as what he is doing to our government. As our employee, as our subordinate. I call him Donald, and I have people all the time, they go, "Why don't you call him Mr. President?" And I go, "Because I know him, and because we're equals. We've just temporarily imbued him with the power to act on our behalf. But he's not a king, he's not special, nor is Barack Obama or Jimmy Carter or anybody else. The President of the United States is our employee, and we're his boss, and we own our government, and we ought to act like owners." Well, your ownership interests are being damaged. Because what has happened is Donald, who really literally doesn't know anything, when he came into office, brought with him really awful people. Now, the ancient Greeks, and I used to teach at Syracuse Law and its graduate business school, the law of the ancient world. I taught the property law, property and tax law one semester, and the business regulation law the other. And one of the things my students learned in both courses was that the ancient Greeks had a name for a government run by the worst of us, the least qualified, the most venal, the least caring about their fellow man. They called it a kakistocracy. And it has sort of a nice tone to it, you know, kaka. Kakistocracy. And so who did Trump bring in with him? Well, you can see some of these people all the time. There's Stephen Miller, who, you know, his high school graduation speech in Santa Monica was a racist diatribe. He was mentored by Richard Spencer from not that far from here in Whitefish, Montana. He brought in Steve Bannon, who says, "I'm a Leninist," by which he means I want to destroy the existing order. And that's what they're working on doing. For example, housing and urban development, tens of billions of dollars of your tax dollars every year, in many cases, frankly, not very well spent, not very thoughtfully spent. But the guy who's the head of the agency, I kid you not, he has said this publicly, he believes that the pyramids at Giza are granaries. They're not tombs, they're granaries. And this guy's in charge of housing and urban development. Betsy DeVos, heiress, marries an heir, huge fortune. I will say this, when she travels around the country in her private jet, at least she doesn't bill us. But has never attended a public school, but is a huge believer in the benefits of corporate and religious education. Anybody, if you want to ask about the charter school movement and say, well, let's talk about Detroit. It'll be like, could we talk about anything else, the end of the world? Because the Detroit setup, which she was deeply involved in, is just a disaster. She is confronted with the problem of student loans. Now, for most of this audience like me, when we went to college, we didn't need student loans. College was free. At least if you went in California, it was completely free. And a lot of other places, it was so cheap, it was irrelevant. You could just get a summer job and pay for school. We now have over $1 trillion of student debt, and a lot of it at these creepy, not very good, for-profit commercial colleges. So Betsy DeVos says, we're going to fix this problem. So who does she bring in? Lobbyists from the companies that made the loans that caused the problem. By the way, she's an investor in a debt collection company, too. Student loan debt collection.
We're listening to a speech by David K. Johnston that he just made in Seattle, and you can have this speech on a CD for your donation of $80. Here's the number to call, 813-239-9663. Thanks to Matthew Rowley. He's unemployed, but he made a $10 a month contribution to WMNF, a Circle of Friends member. Thank you very much, Matthew, for joining the Circle of Friends with your $10 a month contribution. And he likes the public affairs. He says he's currently unemployed, but obliged to scrape up some funds to support you. Matthew, thank you very much for that. So that means that we need three more $100 contributions, and we'll get that $500 match. Here's the number to call, 813-239-9663. Here is more of David K. Johnston.
Now, it's an irrelevant amount of money to her multibillion-dollar fortune, but the symbolism is pretty awful. When Trump came in, he fired every ambassador. Now, legally, he can do that. He has a right to do it. Of course, just because you can do something doesn't mean you should, or as the Mormons like to say, he who must be commanded in all things is a slothful and unwise servant. And Donald didn't have anybody to replace these people. So he goes around saying, terrorism, terrorism, we have to be alert for the terrorists. But we don't have an ambassador in Egypt or Jordan or Saudi Arabia or Libya. And in countries like Australia, the most lapdog loyal supporter of America, we don't have an ambassador either, which means when there are important commercial deals being discussed, we're not at the table. How many people in this room have ever heard of the RCEP? Couple of people. This is really important to the lives of your, maybe not yours, but certainly your children, grandchildren, and other heirs. Donald ran for president attacking the Trans-Pacific Partnership. If any journalist had said, well, tell us exactly what it is. Well, you know, it's trade, and it's like big. It's big. It's like it's soap, it's Pacific, and it's, you know, really big. I was a critic of the TPP. I was one of the leading critics of it because it needed to be fixed. It added monopoly powers. It added corporate powers. It diminished human powers. All fixable problems. Donald kills it. He doesn't replace it with anything. He doesn't know anything about trade. So what does President Xi do? He begins promoting his plan, the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership. Instead of 12 countries in the Pacific, excluding China, that was the TPP, because partly it was designed to contain China's economic, military, and political ambitions, this is 15 Pacific Rim countries, plus India, but not us. And what are the trade emissaries from China telling these countries? When I was in Australia in the fall to lecture, everybody I talked to, government officials, academics, business people, journalists, the chambermaid who made up my room, they were all like, well, you know, we're going to have to get closer to China and pay more attention to China, because that's the only option. Nobody has done more to help China increase its power and authority in the world than Donald Trump. And the Chinese emissaries, they go around saying, listen, you need to tilt away from Washington. Quit pivoting to them. Pivot to us. You want to be wealthy in the future? Look at our highways. Look at our airports. Look at our infrastructure. Look at the people we're employing. Look at the wealth we're creating. That country? That country? Its railroads are falling apart. Its buildings leak. They're not fixing anything. And look who's in the White House. And they're succeeding because you have no choice, quote Donald. If you want to have a trade partnership, that's what you've got to do. Last summer, Donald went to Poland, and he gave a speech. And he was surrounded by adoring people because the right-wing government of Poland made sure that anybody who wasn't part of their ruling party was kept many blocks away. And anybody with a TV camera who tried to go see the protesters many blocks away got stopped. Make sure there was no negative coverage. And Donald gets up and says, oh, it's so wonderful how you people love me. Love me. Because, of course, we created the presidency to adore the president, right? At the very day he's doing this, at the very moment he's doing this, Shinzo Abe is in Brussels signing a Japanese-European Union trade deal. So we've got two major trade partnerships going on in the world, and we're not involved in it at all. And what does Donald do? I'm going to kill NAFTA. There are problems with NAFTA. There are things we ought to fix with NAFTA. But that's not his answer. And I want to get Mexico to cooperate, so I'm going to make them pay for a wall, please. Veterans. Donald says, I love veterans. Now, I pay a lot of attention to that. My dad was 100% disabled veteran of World War II. You can imagine the economic circumstances that I grew up in as a result were sort of less than terrific. Donald goes around saying, we're going to take care of the vets. I'm all for the vets. So his first budget proposes that for many disabled vets who are getting $35,000 a year, not exactly a fortune, when they reach normal retirement age, they will be cut to $13,000 a year. Now, it hasn't happened, and it's not going to happen. But the point is, someone who's for the vets would never propose that. Donald Trump tells you, I love the cops. You know, they're so important, the police. You know, the Democrats don't like the police. I'm so for the police. So what does the new tax bill do? Well, it eliminated miscellaneous deductions. So police officers and firefighters and EMTs and other uniformed personnel who had to buy a uniform and had to dry clean their uniforms, and in the case of cops, had to usually buy their own guns and bullets, they no longer get to deduct that. Tell me how this is showing, you know, your love and affection for the cops. Now, about what's happening to our government, about how Trump's team, not Donald personally, because he's lazy, he spends 5 hours a day on the job of being president, an hour of that's having lunch, they have loosed into our government what I call political termites. And I call them that because, unseen by the public, these people are eating away at the structure of our government. They are taking the investment that you have made after years and years and years in the State Department, in climate science, in controlling polluters, in improving public health, in running the FBI, and they are forcing out the people who are competent and diligent and know what they're doing, unless they toe the line that, you know, as Donald said today, on climate change, well, you know, it's getting hotter and colder. And there's record ice in the Arctic. It was record lost ice in the Arctic. And this isn't what's being covered. And this stuff matters.
This is a speech by author David K. Johnston, who won a Pulitzer Prize for his coverage of taxes at the New York Times. And it's a speech that he gave about Donald Trump just a few days ago in Seattle. The speech is called The Age of Mendacity and Donald Trump. And for a donation of $80, you can have this speech on CD. Share it with your friends. The number to call, 813-239-9663. We're getting closer to the top of the hour. We've got to get at least three more $100 contributions. Thanks to Anonymous, Catherine Larson from Sarasota made a $25 contribution. Thank you, Catherine, for that nice contribution. And what do you got there, commuter?
I got Bill Carter in Tampa. He says, I like Democracy Now! And Richard Wolf, and he likes to give us $200.
All right, so that means that we need only two more $100 donations. Two more $100 donations, and we will get that match. And Jan?
We have Jackie from Queensbury, New York, and she joined the Circle of Friends.
Whoa!
How about that for $60, $5 a month?
Thanks, Jackie.
Well, that's great. Thank you. And anybody else to thank over there?
I'm not sure. I believe they're the same thing.
Okay.
I need to check that out.
All right. So we need two more $100 donations, and your donation will be matched by Mary and David over in St. Petersburg. They issued a challenge. The number to call, 813-239-9663. If you like Radioactivity, and if you like Richard Wolf, if you know, on Radioactivity, I've interviewed this guy, David K. Johnston, whose speech we're listening to right now several times. And if you like David K. Johnston, you can have the speech on CD for an $80 contribution. We just need two more people donating $100, and we'll get that extra $500. 813-239-9663. Also, you can make your donation online on our secure website, WMNF.org. We're going to go back and hear more of the speech in just a moment. I can't believe we're not getting those last two $100 donations.
Yeah, we still need to hear from you. If you're a supporter of Radioactivity, if you like this David K. Johnston's talk that we're hearing right now, can you make a $100 contribution to Community Radio? 813-239-9663 or WMNF.org.
Go ahead, Rob.
I was going to say, Mac Werder, Bicycle Mac, the telephone man, just walked in a $12.50 donation. Thank you. And here's another one from Bicycle Mac, another $25 donation. Thank you, Bicycle Mac. And Tom Stafford from Palm Harbor just made a $25 donation. Thank you very much for that nice contribution, Tom Stafford in Palm Harbor. Well, we're still looking for those next two people to donate $100, and we will get an extra $500 from Dave and Mary in St. Petersburg. The number to call, 813-239-9663. I can't believe we're not there yet. Let's listen to more of the speech by David K. Johnston, Pulitzer Prize-winning New York Times reporter. He's an expert on taxes, and he's covered Donald Trump since the 1970s. That was part of his beat. Here's more David K. Johnston.
Donald's crazy tweets, you know, they may be insulting. They're certainly entertaining. But it's what's happening to our government that is going to affect your pocketbook, the RCEP, as an example. They're going to affect maybe not you and I in terms of getting asthma or heart disease or cancer from how the companies that produce toxics have been freed up to dump their stuff instead of clean it up like they used to, or segregate it. But if you have grandchildren or great-grandchildren, they're going to be affected, and they're going to be affected even if Donald's out of office next week, because it'll take a long time to repair these things. The Trump administration stopped posting information about workers dying on the job. 4,800 people a year die at work in this country from something doing with their job. And the fines are so minor that there actually are some awful employers who just as soon pay the fine than go to safe practices. So shaming these people was a project, particularly in the last administration. Well, they stopped posting the notices about these deaths. We reported about that at dcreport.org, singular, dcreport.org, which is a nonprofit news service my friends and I started. It's mostly volunteer. We don't sell your name. We don't have ads. It's public service. And they then started putting them back up for a while. I can't prove the cause and effect. I can only tell you the timeline. But this administration has not posted information on the death of an American worker on the job since August 17th. And I have no reason to believe they're going to post anymore. They don't care. If anything, it's, this is improper for government to do these things. We don't have to put up with this. That's the important message. How did this happen, and what do we do about it? Those are the questions to ask. And how did Donald Trump become president? The American people put him there. We chose. And he lost the popular vote, even though he insists he really won it. It was all those illegals. But he won the Electoral College.
You're listening to a speech by David K. Johnston, the Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter, who used to work for the New York Times, now teaches tax law think he's at Syracuse or he's in upstate New York teaching. And you can get this speech on CD for an $80 contribution. And remember, we need just two more people donating at least $100, $100 or more, and we will get an extra $500 from some really great people in St. Petersburg. The number to call, 813-239-9663. And remember, you can make a donation of $500 or $1,000, too, if you really like WMNF. Let's hear more of the speech from David K. Johnston.
So the whole idea of this country is that we choose. We decide our fate. King George doesn't decide our fate. Somebody else doesn't. We do. But we've, many of us, stopped choosing. I have sat in blue-collar bars in Indiana and Ohio and Michigan and Wisconsin, where I don't go dressed like this. I go dressed like I'm a blue-collar guy. And some event will happen on the screen. And I don't follow sports. I'm of the school that if Marx had been born 100 years later, he would have said commercial sports are the opiate of the masses. But some play occurs, and suddenly the room is alive, and everybody's picking it apart, and people will, they'll cite, you know, Major League Baseball rule number whatever, and by memory tell you what it says. I was once in a bar where somebody argued that, and the bartender pulls out the rule book from behind the bar and says, no, Jake's right. I mean, it's incredible analytical skill. Then you ask a question about politics. I don't want anything to do, dirty. Don't want anything to do with it. You know, that's nothing. Well, that's how you get Donald Trump in the White House. Not having young people be involved. How many people, raise your hand in this room, are under 30? Well, that's more than I usually get. Okay? And I encourage you, the next time you come to an Elliott Bay Books event about matters of politics and economics, bring somebody who's younger. You know, bring somebody, kid from down the street, college student, you know. You know, if you don't have a grandchildren or children of your own here, somebody's. But bring young people. Get them to come. Put up the $5 for them. But people in America, we know very little. We don't pay attention to politics. And we don't do it because, of course, that's what we've been trained to do. What's one of the sayings? You can't fight City Hall. Sure you can. I've written about people my whole life who've done it. Well, I don't have any power. Nonsense. You have the vote. The social research shows that if everybody voted, if we had mandatory voting like the Australians do, we would have a totally different Congress. People like Paul Ryan would not have a shot. Because this country, in many ways, is much more socially advanced and economically concerned about the same things the Europeans are, taking away financial shocks from people so they can have decent lives. But a lot of people don't vote. Or as my best friend, who is basically a socialist at heart, Wall Street Journal editor. It's my best friend, he always likes to say, screw the poor. The poor get screwed because they don't vote. You go tell them, if you'd vote, you wouldn't get screwed. And they say, no, I'm not going to vote. Screw the poor. That's our policy in America. And we've done it to middle-class people and working-class people. You know, the average income of the bottom 90% of Americans in 1967, that's the year I finished high school, was higher than in 2012. The bottom 90% of people in America are ticked off, a lot of them, and with good reason. You drive across this country and you can go into little towns all over Nebraska and Kansas and parts of Minnesota, and you'll find that, you know, all sorts of people tweaking on meth. No jobs, places falling apart. We don't have to have it that way. We chose to do this. Some of us chose by not being involved. Some of us chose by electing politicians. But whatever the conditions are in this country, there is one absolute to them. We chose. Nobody forced us to elect the people who are in office. No foreign potentate came and said, you have to be this way. We chose. People turned to Donald Trump because he took the message in my trilogy, free lunch, about subsidies, perfectly legal about taxes, and the fine print about monopolies, and distilled from it the basic message. And I said in 2012, anybody who runs for president on the basic message in these books is going to get elected. And that message was, Washington has been taking care of the rich and powerful, and in many, many ways, they have passed laws and rules you've never heard of unless you read my books. where they subtly take money out of your pocket and redistribute it to people at the top. And if I could get people to read these books and to understand the mechanisms by which, without even your realizing it, every single day, Warren Buffett has his hand in your pocket. The pipeline companies have their hands in your pocket. The cable television companies and the pharmacy companies and the land title companies have their hand in your pocket through laws and rules that, except for the people who benefited from them, nobody knew about. They'll get elected president. And Donald, who I know watched me on TV, distilled the essence of that message. Drain the swamp. And so what did he do once he got in office? Well, he took the swamp and turned it into a federally protected paradise for swamp monsters. He ran against Goldman Sachs. He brought six people from Goldman Sachs into his administration. Did the exact opposite of what he said. So what do we do about this?
Well, you're listening to a speech by David K. Johnston. We're not going to get to his part about what we can do about it. But we've got this match. A $500 donation will come to us if we get five people donating $100. And a few minutes ago, we needed only two more people. Now we need just one more person. Rodolfo Sperandio from Sarasota has made another contribution to WMNF. He wants this David K. Johnston speech. We'll send it to you. Thank you, Rodolfo, for your nice contribution. And here's the number to call. It's 813-239-9663. Another $100 donation. Right now, we'll leverage an extra $500 total from Dave and Mary in St. Petersburg. So that's really good. Sean Canan is here. The commuter is here. And we're going to try to get that last $100. The number to call, 813-239-9663. For an $80 contribution, you can have this talk by David K. Johnston. You can have the entire talk for an $80 contribution. The number to call, 813-239-9663. Remember, we're just $100 away from getting that really significant $500 contribution. Can we get that last $100 contribution? Maybe you could be the person to do it. 813-239-9663.
We really need to hear from you. If you can make that $100 donation, looking for an $80 contribution, you can get the CD that we're listening to, the David K. Johnston speech, which was just from a few weeks ago, and just throw in an extra $20. And you can, if you pledge $100, we can give you the CD and you can help us to make that match. Call 813-239-9663. We're raising money for Radioactivity right now. We've already asked for your donations for Democracy Now! And for Economic Update. So we need to hear from you. If you support these programs, 813-239-9663.
And we've got still for you that 1,350 hours of Pacifica programs, interviews, documentaries, speeches, concerts by people like Betty Friedan, Jim Morrison, Studs Terkel, Dolores Huerta, Ralph Nader, Noam Chomsky, Howard Zinn, Pete Seeger, Bob Dylan, Edward Said, Dick Gregory, Studs Terkel, Tim Robbins, and hundreds more for a donation of...
a cast of thousands.
Cast of thousands. So for a donation of $150, you can get that 1,350 hours of Pacifica programs. It's called Voices That Changed the World.
I think the whole thing was put together by Cecil B. DeMille.
It's going to take...
What a show.
Yeah, what a show.
56.25 days, Rob.
Yeah, and then Jimi Hendrix is on this. So is Daniel Berrigan. Nelson Mandela is on this.
Alan Watts, 50 Alan hours Watts. Of Alan Watts.
Just that alone is worth the $150 donation. The number to call again, 813-239-9663. Sean, I know we got some good news. You've got a $100 donation right now. Does that mean we reached it?
That does mean that we'll get that extra $500 matching gift. Thank you. And Seth O'Gradney from St. Petersburg is donating $12.50 a month. That's $150 this year. And he's getting that flash drive that's
all right.
The Pacifica
that's
Voices That Changed the World. And a bumper sticker. So thank you to Seth and thank you to David. 813-239-9663. We still need to hear from you. WMNF Tampa.
Yeah, we're still about $3,000 away from our overall goal. Jan Simpson, who do you have to thank?
Well, Michael understands how to do it. He went to the tip jar. He's a new member. He's Michael from Brandon, and he gave us $35.
Thank you, Michael.
And we have Anonymous, who loves that flash drive. There goes another $150.
Whoa.
That's great.
I got to thank William Ewington in Lake Wales. He likes the, he was going to get the David K. Johnston, Donald Trump in the Age of Mendacity, a pledge of $100.
All right, thank you.
Oh, Alan Mayberry in Largo, is going to get the Donald Trump in the Age of Mendacity, and he likes everything about WMNF, and he's going to throw us $100. And my evil twin, Rob Gray, calling. He says, commuter from hell's evil twin. He's out in Babson Park, and he's going to go with $100 for this station. So thanks a lot, Rob. Hey, I'll send you an email, buddy, and we'll get together soon.
All right. This is